It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for taking the opportunity to be with us here today. This gospel program is presented to you by the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Hopefully the broadcast will be some real help to you today. Brother Dieschmann is here with us again today to present another inspiring message found in the Word of God.
I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 2, verse number 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I'd like to speak to you on 12 undeniable facts about the kingdom. I've heard a lot of preaching about the kingdom on the radio. I've read some tracts. I've read some books where they're talking about the millennium, pre-millennium, post-millennium, and it don't line up with the Bible. It's so confusing to me to try to understand what they're trying to get across. But the Word of God is clear on this subject. I'm not bringing across anything new, but just renewing our minds by way of remembrance. I love the message on the church. I love the message of the kingdom. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar's dream revealed the exact time when the kingdom of God was going to be set up. So first of all, it's an undeniable fact that the kingdom of God was not set up yet, because you can't set something up that's already set up. And the Bible said here that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. It was not set up as of yet. Amen. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this thought, but the first kingdom was the Babylonian Empire. The second kingdom was the Medo-Persian kingdom. The third kingdom was the Grecian kingdom. The fourth kingdom was the Roman Empire. That brings us to the days of Christ. In Luke 2 and verse number 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Verse number 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It was when the Roman Empire was at its height of power during the reign of Caesar Augustus that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. So it was in the days of these kings. Well, who was it that introduced the kingdom in the New Testament? Well, secondly, it's an undeniable fact that John the Baptist introduced the kingdom in the New Testament, because he came preaching. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter and verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand means it's real close. It don't mean it's 2,000 years down the road. It means it's real close. And I want to say today that anywhere the gospel is preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Did Jesus want to be a literal king? Well, friend, it's an undeniable fact that Jesus did not want to be a literal king. The Bible says in the book of John, the 6th chapter and verse number 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. If Jesus ever had any intentions of setting up a literal kingdom, amen, and being a literal king, right here was a good opportunity to accept it. But when he saw that they were going to come and get him and take him by force to make him a king, he departed out of the midst. Dispensationalists insult Christ by telling us that he would have set up his kingdom, but the unbelieving Jews thwarted his plan and caused it to be postponed somewhere out in the future. Friend, the kingdom of God is based on God's sovereign will, not on sinful man's option. Christ said on descending to the throne, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And my friend, when God sets out to do something, nobody can stop him. The Jews can't stop him. All the devils in hell can't stop Christ from doing what he wants to do. He's God, amen? And nobody can put the brakes on God because he's got all power, amen? If Christ failed to set up the kingdom the first time because some folks stopped him, how do you know it won't happen again? But thank God we know that Christ did not fail in what he came here to do. When the Jews realized that he desired to be their spiritual king, they immediately rejected him. And the Bible says in John 19 and verse number 15, but they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." When they said, "We have no king but Caesar," God took them at their word, and for almost 2,000 years, they have reaped the lamentable consequences of that fatal choice. They wanted a bread king, but Jesus neither established nor did he promise to establish an earthly kingdom. It is an undeniable fact that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is the same thing. It's clear in the Word of God. Don't let anybody deceive you and make you think that the kingdom of God's one thing and the kingdom of heaven something else. Because the Bible says in Matthew 19, 23, "Then said Jesus to his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into" what? "The kingdom of heaven." Matthew goes on in the 24th verse and says, "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." In verse number 23, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. In verse number 24, he calls it the kingdom of God. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Luke, telling the same story, said in the 6th chapter, and verse number 20, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Again, Matthew called it the kingdom of heaven. Luke called it the kingdom of God. Now we can go on and on and on through the scriptures and prove that he used these terms interchangeably. What is the kingdom of God? It's an undeniable fact that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. Romans 14, 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." 1 Corinthians 4, 20, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Amen. I'm in the kingdom, and the kingdom's in me. Amen. Almost all, if not all, millennials are talking about this golden age where they're going to be eating and drinking in the millennium. Here in the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, 20 again, the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. He tells us in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. They say that the grapes is going to be as big as the apples in the golden age. The apples will be as large as watermelons, and an ear of corn will fill a whole wagon. Wheat heads will be so large that one of them shall make a bushel of flour. One bunch of grapes will have enough juice to make several gallons of wine. Now, you don't find none of that in the Bible. I don't know where they come up with all of this. But the Bible says it's not meat, it's not drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The scriptures makes it plain, friend, that the kingdom of God is spiritual and that it is to be received in the heart. The Bible lets us know in the book of John, the 18th chapter, and verse number 34, Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest hath delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." That's clear, isn't it? That's an undeniable fact. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore saith unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." It's an undeniable fact that the kingdom of God is within you if you're saved. You may not know it, but it is if you're saved. Luke 17:20, and when he demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not from with observation, neither shall you say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for the kingdom of God is within you." I don't think you can deny that fact. The kingdom of God is within you if you're a child of God. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost is on the inside, and that's where the kingdom is. The kingdom is where the king lives, where the king reigns. Where does the king live? He lives in my heart. I let him in the night I got saved. And you let him in your heart the night you got saved. And the kingdom came in the night you got saved. Praise God for these undeniable facts about the kingdom. Amen. It's not going to help those Jews to move from New York or any other state back to Palestine. The only hope for the Jews is to move from their unbelief to faith. It's also an undeniable fact that you're in the kingdom if you're saved. The kingdom's in you and you're in the kingdom. Now, I don't understand that. How can you be in the kingdom and then you turn around and say the kingdom is in you? Well, the scripture said, "For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The Bible said in Luke 16:16, "The law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth his way into it." So that means, and the Bible says, you're in the kingdom, and the kingdom's in you. Amen. Well, has it been established yet? It's an undeniable fact that the kingdom has already been established.
the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That statement presupposes that there must be a kingdom to seek. I can't imagine Jesus telling those people to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness if it wasn't going to be set up for another 2,000 years. Well, friend, it's been set up because Colossians, the first chapter, and verse number 13 says, who hath, H-A-T-H, delivered us from the power of darkness and hath, H-A-T-H, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Again, the scripture said in Luke 16:16, think about it, friend. The law and the prophets were until John. But ever since John, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth his way into it. You can't press into something that does not exist. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 12, that you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. H-A-T-H, he hath called you. In A.D. 96, listen to what John the Revelator said in Revelation 1 and verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom. Can't be in the kingdom if it's not set up. John said, while on the Isle of Patmos, A.D. 96, he was in the kingdom. John wasn't looking for the kingdom. He is already in it. Amen. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It's an undeniable fact that the kingdom of God has not only come, but it's come in power. Mark 9, verse number 1, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Friend, it's not here in some weak way. The kingdom of God is here with power. Amen. It's got the power to translate you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you right into the kingdom of God. Now, to preach or to teach that the kingdom of God has not been set up yet is to teach that some of these people that Jesus spoke to that day is still alive. Because Jesus was talking to an audience of people and he said to them very plainly, I tell you, friend, it's an undeniable fact. He said, there's some of you that's standing here which shall not taste of death till you have seen the kingdom come with power. What was he talking about? Some of those folks were still alive on the day of Pentecost and they saw the kingdom of God come with power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, the Bible says. There was a time when the message went forth that the kingdom of God is at hand, or that it's nigh, it's near. But since Pentecost, every apostle taught that the kingdom of God is here. Paul left this world preaching the kingdom of God as something that was a present reality and not something out in the future. In Acts 28:31, he said, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So this leads us to another question. If it's set up and it's already been established, how can a person get in it? It's an undeniable fact that a person is brought into the kingdom through conversion or being born again. That's an undeniable fact. Jesus made this clear In John 3 and verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's how you get in the kingdom. You don't get in the kingdom by going over to Palestine. You get in the kingdom by being born of water and of the Spirit. So there's a limitation on who can see the kingdom of God. You gotta be born again. Yes, the kingdom is something, thank God, that you can enter. You can become a part of it. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse number 2, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you should not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You get into the kingdom when you're converted. Jesus declared that his kingdom was such that a person had to be born again. A person had to be converted in order to get into it. It's one that we behold with the eyes of faith, eyes that's been enlightened. You've got to be born again to get in it. Our citizenship here on earth is a result of our natural birth, but to become a citizen of Christ's kingdom requires a spiritual birth. It's a kingdom of peace. It's reigning within. It shall ever increase. It gets better and better. It increases in our soul. We possess it right here, where he saves from all sin. It's going to last while the ages shall roll. It's an undeniable fact that it's the will of God to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32, Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, if you're not converted, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. You won't find that he's tight-fisted and you got to pry his hand open. No, his arms outstretched. It's his desire to give you the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom? Is the kingdom in you? So that's an undeniable fact. Friend, when Christ returns, he's not going to be setting up a kingdom. He's going to deliver up the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. God sincerely desires the eternal happiness to all men, women, boys and girls. His patience towards the sinner proves that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, according to 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. God does not desire, God does not wish that one person go to hell. He does not wish that one person be lost. The Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost delighteth to give everyone the kingdom. Ezekiel said in the 33rd chapter and verse number 11, say unto them as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? When the kingdom comes, thank God the war's over. Peace with God is declared. Amen. The lion of the tribe of Judah has shattered our fetters and loosed our chains. Thank God when you get saved, when you get in the kingdom, and the kingdom gets in you, the long reign of sin and darkness is over. And while we may be doctrinally clear on the subject of the kingdom, I ask you the question, has the kingdom come in power in your life? Do you have the power in your life to back up what you profess to be? Does the power of God reign in your heart and life? See, it's real easy to tell if you're in the kingdom or not. Somebody said, how can you tell if you're living according to the king's will? Have you bowed to his lordship? Are you among those that Jesus talked about? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? No, friend, getting saved is bowing to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Is he your king? Is he king of your life? Are you submitting to him? Are you submitting to his rule? You see, if you're not in the kingdom of God, when you die, you'll be lost eternally. There's no second chances out in the millennium. If you're not in the kingdom of God, when Christ returns for his church, you'll be lost eternally. There's no more second chances. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those beautiful thoughts. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at this same time. So until then, may God bless you is our prayer.